pieces today. Technically three if you count praying for our children. But I want to take a little time as kind of a pivot. July just passed, midway in the year, and I was out of town. So I want to take an opportunity to do that today. And we're going to call it the State of the Communion Address. All right? And just say, here's where we've been. This is where we're coming from this year. And this is where we're headed towards the end of the year. Just quickly to remind you, we began 2017 and we talked about it for several years, that 2017 would be the year to cast vision. And our vision at our church is that we want to be a family. Anyone. Okay, I need to teach again, don't I? Let's try it again. We want to be a family anyone can belong to. And what that means is that when you come into our fellowship, you belong right now. We don't expect you to change the way you dress or the way you believe or the way you act. We are glad you're here because you're pursuing faith, and that is awesome. You belong now, and we want to welcome you with open arms and just really make sure you know that you're a special, special person here. And then further, we want to be very honest about our agenda. You're not just going to stay as a belonging. We want you to begin to hear some things, and as the Word of God begins to penetrate your heart, my expectation, as it always is the Word of God will begin to change you. And you'll move from belonging to believing. You'll be thinking, this Jesus guy makes a lot of sense. And it's going to move you. And just be ready for it. And it'll be all on your own. You and God will have your moment. And He will move you in a place. And then unashamedly, I hope that you'll move even beyond believing. And you'll become. That you'll give your life to Jesus. And say, you know what? This is what I want to do. And I want to take Him on in baptism. And this is my new direction. And so we want to be unashamedly, we want to welcome anyone who comes. We've used words this year like hospitality. Because hospitality to strangers is at the center of the gospel. And so we want to begin to really feed each other these words. This is our creed that we live by here. This is the way we are going to love God, love others, and love the world. And it's a real important way to do that. And so we've had a lot of thought in that venue, and we'll continue with that as the years go by. But now we're kind of at a pivot point. We're going to hit the second half of the year. We want to focus a lot on family. In fact, even into the new year, family, what it means, the pitfalls in family, the challenges in family, the unique kinds of family. I mean, the church, look around. It's a motley crew, right? And we're family. That's something very, very special. So we want to take some time to talk about that. So let me give you a quick overview of where we're headed. First off, let's start with a video. Push play.
Hello, church family. We are Luke and Holly Brazel, and we live in Ghent, Belgium. We helped plant the church here in Ghent, and we have been working with it for the past 11 years.
For the next 2 months, we'll be traveling with our two sons around the United States to share how God has been working in Belgium.
We plan on sharing with you about the growth of the church, about the personal Bible studies that we have with people here, about how we are training new church leadership, and about how we work with the youth.
Keep your eyes on the church bulletin and keep your ears open for announcements so you don't miss when we come to visit.
We would love to meet you, so please keep our travels in your prayers.
Thank you for your support, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, so here's the announcement. You ready for it? Next week, they're going to be here next week. We're excited. Luke asked me if he could preach back in January, and I told him yes. So he's going to be preaching next week on the 20th of August, sharing a little bit about the work they're doing in Ghent. And we're real excited. They grew up here. This is part of their church family from way back. And so we're real excited to host them back home. So be looking forward to that next week. And then following that, on August 27th through September 17th, I'm going to lead us through a study of baptism. I have discovered in getting to know all of you over the last 5 or 6 years that there are many of you who have not been baptized. And it's not that you think negatively of it. It's just your mind has not gotten to that place. And it's like you're waiting for that moment to say, okay, I'm going to do this. And so I want to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to spend 4 weeks studying baptism from this perspective. Baptizo is the Greek word for baptism. It sounds just the same because it is. The lazy people who were translating didn't translate it. They transliterated it. So it's like buffet in French. It means the same thing. So unless you know what baptizo means, you don't really know what baptism is. So we're going to study that word and its context in the passages of Scripture and the first century. And the way I want to present it is this way. We're going to look at 7 images of baptism, 7 definitions of the word, maybe a way to look at that. We're going to do 2 a week, And on the fourth week, if you did your math right, we'll only have one left. The reason being is it's going to be a little shorter day because we're going to have a baptism celebration. I'm hoping 6, 8, 10, 12 of you will say, this is time and I'm ready and I've studied and I'm excited and I'm ready to commit my life in that way. And we're going to fill the baptistry and we're going to have a big celebration, Baptism Sunday. It's a little anti-orthodox from our heritage, but we really believe this is an important part of our journey. It's the start. It's the birthing process into the family and into the kingdom. And so I want to teach you what that's about and give you some images and understanding of that. And we're going to move into that following next week after the 20th. Then the 24th of September, as was mentioned earlier, is God Can Sunday. Now remember, God Can, we're trying to raise $49,000. So don't show up God Can Sunday and be like, I probably should give something. Think about it today. I already had somebody write a check this morning and say, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to make sure I get my God Can money in. So that's the attitude I want you to have. What are you coming here for? What has God called you to give? And in addition to our regular contribution, which pays the light bill, we want to have this special contribution. And we're going to raise $49,000. And we're going to send it to folks like the Ghent Work and others around the world. And it's going to be a really celebratory day. It'll be a unified service. We're going to start at 9:30 and go to 11. We'll all be in here together. It'll be a crowded room. We're going to Skype in some of our missionaries. It'll be a lot of fun. So please mark your calendar and get ready for that and be praying for that. It's a real exciting time. The weekend after that is equally as exciting. We're going to have our Falls Family Festival. That's not nearly as exciting as it should be, all right? The Falls Family Festival, right? There we go. What's cool about this is that morning we're going to have a very special time of prayer over all of our babies. Now, originally this would be who was born in the last 12 months. But it's been so many years since we've done that. If your baby has not been prayed for and he's 19, bring him, okay? We're going to bring them all up here and we are going to pray over your children. And we are going to just pour into them with a special blessing that God will fill them with His Spirit and lead them in a walking with Him way. And then we're going to commission you as parents. I'm going to make you stand and raise your right hand. And we're going to send you as missionaries into your child's world. Because there's no greater ministry. A huge family day. It's a great time to bring your relatives. It'll be a very special day for their nieces and nephews and grandkids, okay? And then at the end of the day, we're going to have our Falls Family Festival with food and live entertainment, the fastest sketch artists in the world. It's an amazing event. Those of you who've been here, you know how good it is. And I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but we have possibly a very special musical artist coming. And I will remain nameless for now, but it's going to be exciting if it works out. So stay tuned for that. We're really looking forward to it. Be a wonderful day. And of course, your family can stay all day and just celebrate with us. Now remember, we're going to do a little different this year. It's going to be from 2 to 6, so we can have our double service in the morning. 2 to 6. I want to ask you as church members to work to and play to, okay? The sign-up sheets will be coming. So keep that in mind. It's a really important day and a great way to bless our community. Following that, the 8th and the 15th of October, we're going to look at our families a little bit more and how to protect our families. I want to open the conversation about pornography. There's some statistics you need to see. A new study came out this last year in 2017, and it will blow your mind. So I want to inform you, and let's look at some things that are attacking our families. It'll be a start of a conversation that will go on. It'll be very tame, but I want to give you some awareness of what's coming. So that's one of the studies we're going to look at. Then October 22nd, Sally Gary is coming. Now, Sally Gary is a world-renowned speaker. She's a lawyer. She's an author. And I promise you, when she's done talking, you're going to say, that is my new best friend. She is an amazing woman. And she is wrestling through cancer right now. So be praying for her. Lord willing, she's going to be back on the horse October 22nd. We're counting on that. If not, then we'll rearrange it. But right now, that is the plan. And she's going to be with us for the whole weekend. And we have some special events planned. Here's the discussion. How do we really, genuinely, wholeheartedly love those who are struggling with same-sex attraction? How do we have that conversation in a way that's dignified, that is honorable, that doesn't stigmatize? If we're going to be a family that anyone can belong to, then we've got to be ready for anybody to come in. And we need to love unconditionally. That's a real challenge. And I know many of you have family members, and many of you yourselves have struggled with this. And I know because we've talked about it. And so we're going to open this conversation delicately and lovingly with Sally Gary. Do not miss this weekend. It's going to be a wonderful blessing. She wrote this book here called Loves God, Likes Girl. And it's amazing. We'll have some copies for you here soon if you'd like to buy one. I think they're going to be sending them like late August, early September. So looking forward to that. And then I want to continue on and have a study on singles. It's a very important part of our families are singles. We really don't talk about that much. So I want to take a few weeks and really focus on that. What does it mean to be single? How to find the perfect guy and the perfect girl? You know, how to look towards marriage if you want to, and how to remain single as a high calling of God. There's a lot of layers to that that I'm looking forward to sharing with you as well. And then we're going to have a holiday season. We'll have our Thanksgiving, what am I thankful for? And then we'll have 4 weeks towards Christmas, celebrating ultimately on Christmas Eve, our Christmas Eve candlelight service, which, again, it's the most attended service of the entire year. You don't want to miss it. It's an amazing event. More to come on that. And then kicking into 2018, we're going to continue with our family theme. And I want to set up a series, probably 6 or 8 weeks, how to have a great marriage. There are some biblical principles that will always say I do when your marriage is trying to say I don't. And there's some really powerful things that God has taught us. And I want to share some of those with you. I've been studying this and thinking about it and listening to other series for 2 or 3 years now, kind of building towards this. I'm really excited. I think we're going to have a lot of learning together. So tell your friends, this is the time, the next 6, 8 months of our church, we're going to learn how to be in family together. We're going to learn how special we are. We're going to engage one another. We're going to learn some skills to live life the way God has called us. Sound good? Oh, man. I'm going to work really hard on this. I got to have more than that. Come on. Are you excited about some things that are coming? All right, good. At least be happy for the exciting Falls Festival music entertainment and hot dog festival. It's going to be wonderful. All right. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit. We can't have students that we just prayed for unless we have what? Teachers. I want to talk a little bit today and close our time out talking about teachers. Teaching is one of those special things that I think we sometimes take for granted. Teachers don't teach for the money. You definitely don't in the church. You volunteer. Why in the world would people put themselves through so much to do something that's so significant? You know that 90 times Jesus is addressed directly in the Gospels. Anybody want to have a guess on how many of those 90 times he's referred to as teacher? 60. The slide is giving it away, isn't it? Go ahead and pop it up. 60 times. That's 2/3 of the time that people address Jesus, they call him teacher. He wore that as a badge of honor. In John 13:13, he says this, "You call me teacher, and rightfully so, because that is what I am." You walk in the very footsteps of Jesus when you teach. When Jesus had finished his Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching all these people, and he's out just mesmerizing them. I can only imagine what it would look like. I've seen someone illustrate this by taking a big old plank and saying, "Oh no, you've got a speck in your eye," and they're laughing. And I can only imagine what that teaching moment would have been like to sit at the feet of Jesus on the side of the mountain. He mesmerizes them, and they go away saying, "He taught as one who has authority." Not like the other teachers of the law, Matthew 7:29 records. It's not just, "This is what Gamaliel says," and "This is what..." No, he spoke as, "This is what I say. You've heard it said, but I tell you," Jesus said. He was a teacher. He was the best teacher. And he went and amazed people. I want you to teach as one with authority. I mean, some of you are in school districts teaching. Some of you volunteer in Awana and you teach, or your helpers. Some of you support kids in other ways at schools. Some of you are a part of our Bible classes. Some of you teach our adult classes. There's so many of you in this room who take this seriously. And I want to honor you today. I want to say thank you. And I want to support you to let you know that you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. And all of you who are parents better be teaching your kids. That's an important role as well. Because our kids, they're starving for what matters in life. And God says, you teach them. Teach them the way that they should go. And as they grow up, they will not depart from it. There's something really, really important about teaching. Now, if I asked you to walk and to teach as one with authority, you might say, "Well, I'd like to and all, but you know, Jesus was the Son of God, and how do I do that?" I want to give you 3 things to think about today. Okay, number one, one of the ways you teach with authority is you teach from within your inner self. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You've got your own testimony and your own story. When you match that up with a teaching lesson, people will learn the lesson, but that's not what they're interested in. They want to hear from the authority of the story. Let me show you a picture. When I was in London, I went to this place called Desserts. Go ahead and throw that picture up there. And I got that. Now, you got to understand, I walk in and there's teenagers everywhere. It's like a coffee shop, ice cream shop kind of place. And I didn't know what was going on and everybody's speaking strange English, you know. And I walk up and I ordered it and I got it. And she said, do you want this or that? And I said, this. And we just kind of, they bring it to me and I saw this. And I began to hear the angels sing just a little bit. And there's the caramel everywhere. And then over on the right-hand side is hot vanilla custard. Right? Let me say it again. Y'all just didn't hear me, did you? Hot vanilla custard. And I poured it all, I drowned that thing. I mean, it was, and I took a bite and I stuck it in my mouth and suddenly everything became brightly colored. And Jesus came down and said, David, this is what heaven's like. And I was like, oh, teacher, teach me more. It was just one of those moments, right? The flavor was so good. One of the best desserts I've ever had. Now, let me show you. That was teaching with authority. And you trust me and you're wanting some sticky toffee pudding right now. Aren't you thinking, I would kind of like some of that. Because it's so exciting for me. Now, you might not like it. Who knows? But there's something about when I tell you from my world and I use the word I, it teaches with authority. So don't be afraid of that. Share your life with your students. They want to know it. And it's powerful. It will give you the Jesus edge of speaking with authority. Further, and this is the part that I really want you to take home. When your student balks and says, why are you telling me that? Why are you always on my case? Why do you give so much homework? Why are you this? Why are you that? I don't like it. You're just mean. Can I go to the bathroom, please? I just want to sleep. Would you? Why are you bothering me? I want to talk to my friend, etc., etc. And you put up with that. And you love them anyways. You know what that's called? That is called love. And that is the reason why Jesus was the best teacher. He unconditionally loved his students. No matter what form of teaching, what support of teaching you're involved with, love your students unconditionally, and you will speak with authority into their life. And you will step in the very footsteps of Jesus. Another thing to consider is this. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Fan into flame. In other words, if you've got a talent or a gift, if you know something, you can sing well, talk well, you understand things, you're good with computers, whatever it is that you're stepping in to teach, that is a gift that is from God. The Bible's very clear on that matter. And God says in this passage and in many others, fan into flame. Work on those gifts. Develop them because they are there for the very purpose of blessing those around you. You are called to be a teacher. In some ways, those of you who are not actively doing that right now, you're called to be a teacher in various ways. You're called to take someone under your wing. A subordinate at work, maybe. It's very important that you remember this. This is following in the footsteps of Jesus. It's teaching and leading and working those gifts to make them better. A third thing is, don't forget that the ultimate gift inside of you is not just the thing you do well, but it's the very presence of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John, listen to this, 2 verses 22 or 27. But you have received the Holy Spirit from God. He continues to live in you. So you don't need anyone to teach you. God's Spirit teaches you about everything. And what he says is true. He doesn't lie. So remain joined to Christ just as you have been taught by the Spirit. Those of you who have given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you and will teach you. Now, this is what that means. Does anybody want to take a gander of how Jesus talked? The Bible is very clear that Jesus taught, led, did miracles, did all that he did by the leading of the Spirit. If you recall, the Spirit led him into the desert. The Spirit led him into everything he did. And God has given us that very same Spirit. So if you're ever at a loss for what you're talking about, seek the Spirit inside and say, God, would you teach me? Because the Bible is very clear on numerous occasions. Paul says this often. We speak the very words of God. It's not because we're special, but because someone who is lives inside of us and wants to speak through us. And so when you teach, take it seriously, because you speak the very words of God. And you can say it from a first person perspective, because God is leading you into that knowledge. Now, what I want to do, we're going to, in just a minute, we're going to have a video. And during that video, it's about a 2-minute video, so maybe about a minute into it, I want you, if you're teaching in any form or fashion, any volunteers for Awana, for example, anybody who's teaching in our Bible classes, adult or kids, if you're a helper in the Bible class, you're part of the education process, and those kids are looking to you. If you teach in the civilian sector out there in the world where you're up against all kinds of crazy bureaucracy, then you fit into this. If you're a teacher aide, if you support the schools because you're helping them put things together, if any context you are a part of educational process, some of you are both students and teachers, okay? So you get prayed for twice today. During that video, I want you to come forward and we're going to gather around you and pray for you today and just ask the Holy Spirit to just fill you and lead you as you teach, that you would indeed be speaking the very words of God, because your life, when unconditionally in love shared with your student, can change the world. I mean, all of you have heard these stories, right? Where the kid comes on and he's 21 years old and he says, yeah, I was 16, I was in drugs and my family hated me, I was living on the streets and, you know, girlfriend got pregnant and I stole from a liquor store and I was just, man, I was tore up from the floor. And then this teacher said to me, and she just wouldn't quit. She saved my life. That's about the time the tears start to flow and you hear this 21-year-old hard kid just crumble because someone took the time to invest in them. The power that you do in teaching is unparalleled and it follows in the very footsteps of Jesus. And most importantly, if it's unconditional love you're offering your student, you will literally change them and you will literally change their family tree and you will literally change the world one student at a time. So let me commend you. Let me encourage you. And if you're a part of any of this, don't be shy, okay? If you're a part of it in any way this year coming up, we want to pray for you intentionally and directly. I hope that it's like 80% of you coming up here, okay? If not, I'm going to start yelling at you during the video. And that'll ruin it. So let's not do that. So the video is going to go and about a minute into it. Just go ahead and come forward. And when it's done, we'll gather up together and we'll pray. Go ahead and push play.
Okay, class, this snowman is made out of 3 geometric shapes. Now, if I take one of them off, then we have a... What's wrong, Morgan?
Snowman is dead now.
Oh, no, no, it's okay. Look, look. Look, see?
Teachers are definitely underappreciated.
4 score 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth... Only...
Teachers have to answer millions of questions.
How big is outer space?
Where did my sister come from?
Is the sun following me?
Teachers have to deal with every type of emergency.
No one is going to know that you had an accident. Okay, I'll just wrap this around you there.
Teachers have to know everything about everything.
Give it a second.
So in a way, this is a very realistic portrayal of a volcano, because everybody thought it was going to explode, but it didn't explode.
I'm the math giraffe, then I'm here to say...
We're going
to
use our mind cameras now and imagine people running down the hill because they were warned, but they're like, nah, this thing isn't going to blow, you guys. We're going to stick around town and see what goes down.
Long division, what? Long division, not wrong division.
Teachers have to be like a courtroom judge. They must be honest and fair.
I'm going to read you the answer you put on your math test.
I forgot to study last night, so here's a drawing of a donkey wearing roller skates. That's a good drawing. But you got to study.
Teachers have to be really, really nice all the time. It's harder than it looks.
Hi, Miss Rocha. I made you some cookies.
Wow, for me? Thank you.
We made a chocolate chips.
That's my favorite.
And hot dogs.
Even when they're not at work, they're still working.
Lindsay, what are you still doing here?
I'm just waiting for my mom.
Oh, well, we'll wait with you.
Teachers have to be good role models. They must challenge and inspire their students.
Oh, Stuart, your shoe's untied. Let me help.
I don't need any help.
Dudsy taught me, Miss Rosa.
In conclusion, teachers have the hardest job in the world. What amazing things did your teacher do for you?
Tree's here, yes.
Mr. Jeffries!
I'm a tree.
All right. Anybody who's connected this year with anything in Awana, we got some more Awana volunteers who are praying about it. You can go ahead and come on up. We're going to pray for you right now. Go ahead and gather. Let's gather up here in the front so we can all see. And anybody who wants to come join us for prayer, please do that. We're going to pray over these folks. But let me say this before we pray. First of all, thank you for what you do. Thank you for the sacrifices that you make. Often you're underappreciated. And I want you to know that it is not unseen. I have my favorite teachers growing up. They changed my life in so many ways. You guys are a blessing to all of us. And I want to remind you the final command of Jesus. Right before he ascended to heaven, the last words he said, go into all the world and teach. Let's pray together. Father, we are humbled at your greatness. We are humbled at Jesus as our great teacher, Lord. And we are humbled by these men and women who are giving of themselves to serve, to sacrifice, to put themselves in the gap, to do what is necessary, to set up, to challenge, to teach, to lead, to model, and to sacrificially love those who would look to them for leadership. Father, bless each person here today. Fill them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit in a way that just overflows and bubbles out to everyone who looks up to them, every student who's listening. May their ears be full with your words as you speak through your servants here today. Father, fill them with your Spirit in a way that is undeniable, that they can feel your presence, that they go home and can't even remember what they said, but they know it was just right. And the confidence of knowing that they spoke with authority, not of themselves, but because they follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Lord, fill each one here. Bless them, encourage them, and thank you for them. We lift all of this in the holy and precious name of the great teacher himself, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. What a blessing. Thank you guys for listening and entertaining me today. I wanted to just set us up and give us some thoughts. I do realize, though, that some of you may have come today with something heavy on your heart. And we want to give you a chance to be encouraged in that. We typically have our prayer warriors here on the left and right as we close out with this last song. If there's a way that we can serve you or encourage you or bless you, pray for you or whatever, today or during the week, please do that. That is one of the things that we most enjoy, is trying to be a blessing to each of you. So thank you. If you would stand together, let's sing. If you need to respond in a way, you can do that. God bless you. Thank you.
overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted up.
Empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, to step in boldness, to speak in kindness, to see with clarity, to deal in honesty, and to love in purity. May you teach like Jesus as you speak with the authority that He's given each one of you. God bless you. Go in peace.